Florida showed some secondary looks that they hadn't shown all year on film.
Sure.
Which is really interesting. Well,
they had the off week. Yeah.
And so they mixed it up on us, he said. Worley also said, I didn't get the right read on the corner blitz. I should have known it. That play right there. If you've got to point to one thing that turned the game around.
That was it.
That's it. That game turned the game. Worley said, heard on the Wildcat penalties, which totally the Wildcat completely backfired today with the false starts. That looked like the Wildcat of old when they had the Eric Locke package back in the former days.
But you saw Florida was so confused. I mean, if they can get the snap off cleanly, you'd have
about
a 25-yard gain.
Florida takes a timeout, and then they're trying to get one, and we have a false start penalty.
Jumps.
And Jesse Palmer's out going, I can't believe this. If Tennessee just executes, you know, you could tell Jesse Palmer wants to get that coach pushed off the ledge. You could tell. He wants that guy pushed off the ledge.
He was surprisingly objective today.
He was very objective.
I thought Musburger was unbearable as per usual, but Palmer was all right.
Worley on the fourth down conversion, we started building momentum, and on the next play, I throw a pick. He says, it was a tight window. I was trying to fit it in, and I might have overthrown it a little bit and then overshot it a little bit. Here's the thing.
Should never come down to that.
Throw some quick stuff. Don't put the ball. Listen, you have a first down at the 47-yard line.
Well, have a feel for the game. In the first half, be aggressive. Throw on first down. It's like Bajakian prefers to be in second and long the entire time. And then when you're up 9-0 and you should be running clock, he starts winging it all over the place.
It's
I mean, did somebody
backwards.
Slip some vodka into the guy's drink at the half or something?
He might have been at Mike Carver's tailgate today, Fish Hospitality Pantry.
He does look a little
Carver
bleary-eyed up
hammered.
There. He looks like... Never mind. Now I'm...
Here's the tweet of the day so far. The tweet of the day so far comes from Willix Max, who says the following. Who's more disappointed, Vol fans or Florida fans? That's a very interesting tweet. As we go back to the phones.
He's still gone.
I'm sure he is.
Will Muschamp will leave Florida 4-0 against Tennessee.
Damn.
Let that sink in for a
minute. That makes me sick.
That moron will leave 4-0.
And he is an absolute mental midget. And my man, let me say this, and before we go back to the phones, my man Randy Dalton at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics is not a happy camper today because he's all Vol to the core, selling both domestic and import hydraulic cylinders and components. The number one hydraulic cylinder source, whether you're going off-the-shelf standard or you want to go custom hydraulic cylinders and power units, I'm talking about 200,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders and hydraulic power units in 2014 so far. They also have hoses, hose assemblies, anything that turns and makes mobile components work. Go online, DaltonHydraulic.com, from Little Granger County, Tennessee. They are serving worldwide and killing it. And thank you for their support, and thank you for supporting them. And you were just reacting to something here on this game.
Kenyon Drake for Alabama just got carted off the field. Mm. He had a... I'm no orthopedic surgeon, but the human leg is not supposed to bend in the manner it just did. That was a, if you remember, Moise Salou's broken ankle back in the day. It was very similar to that.
Oh, man. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome. Who's this?
Hello?
Yes. Who do I have here?
This is Barney Boy from Virginia.
Hey, Barney Boy. Welcome.
Hey, big Tennessee fan. Mad as hell up here.
You should be.
Let me tell you something. You remember 3 years ago when Tennessee went down there and got beat by Kentucky by a wide receiver at a quarterback when Dooley was down there? I thought that was the worst loss I've ever seen. This takes the cake right here. All right, first of all, let's get something straight. There's two problems at Tennessee right now. Worley's not a SEC quarterback, and we got probably one of the worst offensive coordinators in the country. All they have to do is run the ball down there when you're supposed to run it, take time off. The guys up there, he must be blind and wearing sunglasses or something. It's no excuse for Tennessee to lose this game today. I'm on the boat with Butch Jones. He's doing a great job recruiting. I can deal with that. But you got to win games that you're supposed to win. He lost the Vanderbilt game last year. We was favored. We win that game, win a bowl. All right? We favor today, we lose it. I'm going to tell the Tennessee fans, we're not going bowling this year. Until Tennessee gets up with the 80s and 90s and get an offensive coordinator and get a quarterback. Well, he couldn't crack an egg with a football. His nickname up here is Wobbly Worley. The read option. He ain't going to run the ball. Why even try to fake a run? Butch Jones is going to have to make a change at offensive coordinator.
I'd be really curious to see if, in fact,
what is it about Tennessee? Are we jinxed or something? It's been 10 years. A program like Tennessee, the best facilities. This is a game that we should have won, and we didn't.
Answer me one question up here in Virginia. Answer me, and I'm not trying to stoke you, okay? I'm really not.
Okay, hey.
What was the one game last year that Florida won? It was us.
I don't know.
It was us. Wait, they went 4-8. Listen to me.
This might
be their last game. They went 4-8. This might be their last good win. They went
their last win.
Wait, hang on. Georgia Southern went in their building and beat them.
We had Peyton Manning, and we still can't. I don't know what it is about Florida. Everybody was saying that we was going to win today. I even took them on my football card. They done messed my football card. I don't know what it is about Florida. Let's just quit playing them. But I'm telling you, I think if we get us a quarterback, you look at the last quarterbacks we had in 10 years, all of them could run about a 6-flat 40. We need athletic, and I'm going to tell you, I was at the spring game, and the best quarterback on that field was Joshua Dobbs. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not a coach. And they put Wobbly Worley in there, and then they put this Peterman every time he lays a ball. We have to get a quarterback. This is the SEC. This is not high school or the Canada Football League. We need to get a quarterback. And this offensive coordinator, I don't know where they got him from.
I'll tell you something. I don't like the offense. And I'll tell you something about that offense. And I'm going to say this one more time. People think, oh, you're going to break a broken record. Unless you have a tremendous athlete running that offense, what is the point behind running that offense at the college level?
He really couldn't outrun a 300-pound offensive lineman. And every time he fakes, why does he even fake it? These linebackers ain't going to go after Wobbly Worley. They're going to go after the running back because he ain't going to run it. Wobbly Worley, he can't outrun a 10-yard dash. Is probably a 20 flat. And people say, why don't he throw the ball down the field? He does not have the arm strength. And I don't understand, what's the deal with Joshua Dobbs? Well, please somebody tell me, because the best quarterback I saw during the spring game, him and Malone, 50-yard in-stride passes, looked pretty. I was excited. I ain't even seen him.
Let me tell you this. Joshua Dobbs had a nice spring. He really did. He went off. He went out to L.A. and got tootled by the quarterback guru to the stars,
George Whitfield.
George, who screwed him up.
Oh, it's Whitfield's fault.
I believe it is. He came back here.
Wait, Whitfield worked with Worley too.
Worley. I'm telling you, don't get me wrong. I've been hearing everybody.
I think you're a big fan of his.
Even Peyton Manning blew smoke up Worley's butt this week. He would be in the pros. That guy would never see the pros.
I don't know about that.
I will see. They said
Matt Sims. Hey, Matt Sims a pro. Jonathan Crompton made the pros.
Yeah, they're dummies up there. I'm talking about playing. Okay.
I don't know if he's going to play.
You see what I'm saying? Until Tennessee gets an athlete, college football, Peyton Manning is great. He couldn't beat Florida, but he couldn't run. In college football, you need an athletic quarterback in college football. And Tennessee ain't had one since T. Martin. Okay? And I've been hearing all this praise about Worley and just, hey, there's big Tennessee fans up here. We sitting here, and I trust me, when we went up 9-0, I was feeling pretty good, but I still had a doubt. Then all of a sudden, the offensive play caller, 3-and-out, punt, 3-and-out, punt. Worley throws an interception on the back foot, and that hit on the blind. I'm getting tired about the offensive line. I understand they're young, but you got to make reads. You got to get rid of the ball quick, and don't get touch and fumble the damn ball.
Can I ask you something about Worley? Because you really seem like you've got a lot of venom toward him.
Oh, yeah.
Now, hang on. Our offensive line's terrible.
Exactly.
And And he has taken some real shots. Does he get credit from you for having the courage to hang in there and make the plays that he does? Does he get credit?
Courage for what? Then you pat him on the back, and then he throws a stupid interception?
You're being way... I mean, look, you're being...
I understand, but I am... It's no excuse for Tennessee football for 10 years not to being a decent bowl.
It's not Worley's fault, though. Is that Worley's fault?
He's a quarterback.
He hasn't been playing for 10 years, though, man.
All right, he's playing for 4 years. He's been to a bowl. He's not going to a bowl. I just want to know, is he the right guy in there now?
He's the coach's choice.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I just said, when I went to the spring game, by far, Joshua run the ball. I was excited. I didn't want, and then I heard about Riley Ferguson was going to be there. Now, I don't know what happened on that deal, but Joshua Dobbs was the best quarterback. And I was excited coming 300 miles back up 81. I was excited, but this season. And then they announced Worley's award. I mean, Worley's been there long enough. I don't know. Offensive coordinator, he does not have a talent to take us to a bowl game. I'm just talking about a simple bowl game.
Well, I appreciate your call.
Well, I do too, and I'm sorry to get like this. I'm a Tennessee fan, and I'm having to deal with these damn Tech fans up here. They think they all world, and we have to play them in 2 years. And that's what I'm saying. We got to get this mess straightened out before we play them. I'm going to end up moving to Texas.
It's heading in the right direction, and you do have faith in Butch Jones.
Do you honestly believe that?
Absolutely. The recruiting is...
I want somebody to tell me that.
The recruiting's off the chain. Hang in there, man.
I know that, but let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
You get these 5 stars,
yeah.
You have to coach them.
No question.
Got this numb nuts up there, offensive coordinator. See what I'm saying? You can get all the recruits, but you have to coach them. And he's got to win a game that he's supposed to. He lost the Vanderbilt game last year. If we've been to a bowl, I just want to go to a bowl game. I'm tired of sitting here eating chili and watching Big Bang Theory on TV.
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Thank you. I hope you have a great call. Thank you.
Remember me, Barney Boy. I'll be calling you again.
Barney Boy, you chime in anytime
Barney
you want
Boy
to.
Is hot.
Barney Boy is urinated off. And somebody on Twitter said they
got to
start calling him Wobbly Barney. Wobbly Whirly. Barney sounds like he's a little wobbly right now.
Was that Barney's first time? Is that guy regular?
That's
be hard to top right there.
Man. Our friends at Football Time and Tennessee Magazine just tweeted a second ago, and they're right. Tennessee's going to have to beat Florida or South Carolina now because Florida was the easiest path to 6, and there's going to be lots of pressure in the games in November because I don't see this team going down and beating Ole Miss at Ole Miss. I know some people think that's going to happen. Ole Miss is trading punches with Alabama right now. They are toe for toe, the real deal Holyfield on defense, and they will smother. Unless we Greatland, the girls are so beautiful there, and they are going to smother us on offense. Is there any doubt, Russell, that's going to happen?
Well, I mean, you're hoping to have Josh Smith and Pearson back by
great.
Then.
Great. Are they going to play offensive block? Line?
I don't know.
That's my point. Because the wide receivers are not the problem. They're not. Back to the phones we go.
Tennessee just ran on first down again, by the way.
Thank you for sharing that. Let's go back to our phones. And our next caller is here on your Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter. Hello?
Hey, it's Smitty, Tony.
Hey, Smitty, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I could be better, I guess. Yes, I'm sure y'all could do the same. But, you know, I'm not going to beat on Worley. There's no point in beating on Worley. Worley's getting set up to fail. I suppose that's Bajakian. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, beat a dead horse because we all know what the problem was today. It wasn't Worley. It was the guys making the calls. I am frustrated. I'm extremely frustrated. But I look at the future of this program right now. If the Jenkins going to be the man, and Butch, as we know, is stubborn just like any other coach, he's going to hang on to those guys. What is this team going to do in 2 years when this place is a gold mine? I mean, we're going to have everybody we need. Quarterback's questionable. But we're going to have every specialty player that we need. We're going to have a defense that's going to be incredible. The defensive line is going to be probably one of the best in Tennessee football. The secondary is going to be packed, full. We're going to have Cam Sutton, TK Jr. We're going to have all those guys. What? I just don't know if Bajakian is going to be able to, if we keep doing things like this, then we're going to continue. I can't see in the future, but I just don't see this. Some of these guys on the coaching staff being able to, one, handle all this talent, and two, utilize it. Because right now, we were in this ball game, we had it won, and we've complained 2 years about these play calls. I can only see it being the same way 2 years from now when we've got everybody we need, and it's twice as frustrating.
I think that's a reasonable thought on your part. And look, here's, Smitty, what I've said about Butch Jones. And I said this when they hired him because I knew about Cincinnati's program. He is an excellent coach from Monday through Friday, or Sunday through Friday, if you will. He's not the greatest on Saturday. He's a great salesman. He's a great emotion guy. He's a great face for your program. He's an excellent salesman. He's a lot of things. You're never going to hear people that really, really follow the game tell you that, man, the game management under him at Cincinnati was great, because it was not. And that is just a fact. Now, can he get better at it here at Tennessee? Probably, yeah. Today, you would have to go some to manage a game worse than they managed it today. And that's coming off a week last week where they had an onside kick at the end of the game with somebody holding the ball during the onside kick, which was, I understand, mandated by the official, but was one of the strangest things you'll ever see. So will the coach get better as the players get better? The coach is going to look better as the players get better, but here's what's going to happen. The expectation level is going to rise with that, and you're still going to have to beat the Alabamas of the world, the Auburns of the world, the LSUs of the world, the Floridas of the world, in those six plays that matter. And that's going to be interesting to see if he's going to be able to do that.
I'm not going to say that it's not going to work. I mean, it may. I don't know. I am questionable about where we're going with who we have. I'm not going to rip on anybody. I don't want to. It's still early. We're still fighting, the Hamilton and Dooley problems. That's a huge issue, but, this place is literally going to be a gold mine. I mean, and I just pray that they can use it. And like you said, I mean, they're going to look better, but hopefully somebody like Bajakian and Mahoney can like learn how this conference works, and that you can't get away with these jet sweeps and playing behind the line, because everybody has speed. This isn't us going to play Western Michigan where we have speed and they don't, and we can get away with that stuff. Everyone's on the equal level, and sometimes the defense is almost quicker than the offense, and that's the case. Florida's offense is extremely fast. And like I said earlier this week, I was concerned about that. They are really good. one of the best defenses we're going to play all year.
Yeah, but you know what? They weren't performing coming into the game, and they were continuing to not perform early in this game.
They're good, but you can't score 10 points against them. You got to score 20.
I agree. No, I agree. And I mean, that's what's so frustrating. That's what makes me so sick to my stomach, because I know that it wasn't the defense and that it wasn't special teams. Everything was great besides our offense. And I want to see something. He's got to be able to change some things up. I mean, look at Jim Chaney. I mean, Jim Chaney is a pass-oriented coach here at Tennessee. He's now coaching for, what's his name over there at Arkansas, and he's changed things up, probably because he had to, but at the same time, he's not afraid to go to a run-style offense. I mean, he wouldn't have gone there if he didn't. I mean, he took that job knowing that that's going to be a run-based offense, and he was able to make some changes, and he's running a fantastic offense for Arkansas. Tennessee's got to figure something out. I mean, I don't know what it is, if it's going under center, if it's running a full house pistol formation, if it's running pistol, for all I care, do it. But that play where that corner blitzed off the corner and we fumbled, we had a stacked box. They stacked the box on us because we had two tight ends, one wide receiver, and we were trying to throw the ball. I don't understand it. If you're going to throw the ball, spread it out so they're not all right there packed in the box and going to bring – that's what they do. I don't get it. But anyway, Tony, it's a good show, and hopefully we can figure something out.
Smitty,
and,
thank you.
Go Eagles, by the way. My alma mater is the only school I could be. I'll talk to you later.
Go Eagles. You got it, brother. I'm not sure who we're talking about there, but hey, guys, say go Eagles. Go Philadelphia Eagles. You got it, my friend. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us today, I'm Tony Basilio. He is Russell Smith. See, I really don't have a producer today, and so here's what we do when we don't have a producer. My producer walked out of here. Matt Nelson
quit.
Slammed down.
Oh, you've reached a number that is no longer.
Oh, that wasn't good. Let's see here.
The number and try again.
Oh, okay. Let's try this one more time. What number did he tell me to call him at? Let's see here. Okay. 9. Okay. I really am dialing here because my producer quit. And so, I'm up to call my own guests. But let's see what happens here. This is...
Hello.
Bino, get in here, man.
Guys, what is happening? Are we on the air?
We are on the air. Go right ahead. We are on the air.
Don't curse. Keep it
clean. We are on the air. Go ahead. Give me your thoughts, Bino.
I guess Richard Pryor said it best, guys. And I don't know any better way to put it. How long must this BS go on? 10 years in a row. And you knew defense played fantastic, but you knew when the corner blitz knocked the ball loose, it's 9-0, you've left I don't know how many points on the board. They run a second team quarterback in there, so the script is there. You know they're punching that ball in. And then they're getting it back, and they're kicking a field goal, and they're beating. And the shame of it is, we're so conditioned that that's what's going to happen. That's what happens. Really, really frustrated today, because that's now Florida's defense played better than I thought they were capable of playing. I've heard the talk about Majakian, and it's dead on. It's warranted criticism. I think Russell and you both said it the best, too. He just had no feel for the game today. And we go back to what we talked about last week when I told you that I thought we were going to leave some things on the table trying to be what we want to be in the future rather than being what we are today. And I think that happened again today.
Such as
we are not a zone read football team. We are not. We don't have the pieces to be a zone read football team. We've got a powered eye formation tailback and a pocket passing quarterback. That's what we have. And we've got great big wide receivers that you can stand in the pocket and throw the ball up to. We do not have what it takes to be a zone read offensive football team. They're trying to be something we don't have the pieces at this point in time to be.
Oh, man. Tennessee in 8 red zone plays today. You guys ready for this? Minus 11 yards. This is courtesy of Patrick Brown in Chattanooga.
Some
Chattanooga Times.
Right there.
Minus 11 yards, 3 incompletions, an interception, and a sack. No wonder that Barney guy sounded like he was getting ready to blow a gasket. Bino, here's the thing about this deal, is that I don't have any expectations, and you don't either. We talked about this yesterday. We're along for the ride right now. We're going to enjoy the journey, as we like to say here. Boy, they really make it difficult on us when it comes to this series in terms of enjoying the journey, because next year when we play these guys, I might just take a sleeping pill. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What you hope is that you're not raising another young crop of football players whose expectation is to lose to Florida. This roster pretty much came in without that expectation. But they got a taste today of what this series has become in this last streak. I think there are a lot of years when they have a better football team than us. I don't think this was one of those years. The other real disappointing thing about it is everything was perfect today.
Perfect.
There was a complete buy-in. Everything that was done was orchestrated perfectly from a fan standpoint. You had a fan base that believed. You had a fan base that went out of their way to do something special in the stadium. You brought out all the stops. You pulled out all the stops. When you're trying to get a fan base to buy in, when you have an opportunity to reward them for that, you cannot let that pass up.
Fan base deserved to win. Defense deserved to win. The coaches let the kids down today, and I will go back to the phones.
You know, I'm with you guys, though, about you said you'd take a sleeping pill or something. I might just go see a movie or something.
No, it's serious. It's torture.
Everything was orchestrated correctly, but for me, and maybe it's because I didn't go to the game, it was a miserable afternoon. I was miserable watching that entire game, man.
Back to the phones we go. It was what it was over there today. It was an incredible atmosphere, Bino, and I saw you before the game at our Fish Hospitality Pantry tailgate. You could feel it in the air that Tennessee was winning today. You could feel it in the air, could you not, Bino?
Yeah, it's a totally different feel. I pulled out of here just a little bit late from Lenore City. It was an old time traffic jam on the way to the stadium today. It was the opportunity was there, the buy-in was there. The reward just didn't come.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. I will come to the folks on Twitter as well. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction.
My turn?
Yes, sir. Your turn.
All right. This is Eric down in Georgia.
Thank you, Eric.
First of all, I had it completely wrong. I said Tennessee was going to win this game big, and they blew it. I thought earlier in the week this would be either like Alabama 1990 or Alabama 95, and we got Alabama 1990 is what we got. I am totally down with the fellow says that this is going to be a gold mine in a couple of years. So I wonder, is Butch Jones our Ron Zook?
Ooh. Well,
let's not answer that question just yet. But I mean, let's think about this for a while, because he's gonna answer this ultimately. Either he's the guy or he's not. You know, and I'm gonna go back just to totally change the subject. When David Cutcliffe came back to Tennessee after that debacle in 2005, he came back and it was like, oh yeah, we're gonna get back on track. Okay, that's great. But who's the next offensive coordinator? Because you knew Cutcliffe wasn't staying for long. If he succeeds, he's going to go be a head coach somewhere else. If they all fail, they'll all be gone. Or, you know, it could have been where a popular young offensive coordinator replaces a longtime Vol for Life head coach. Yeah, that's happened before. We've done that. I wonder about what's going to happen in the future, because you can only pull out the stops so many times. Like Dino said, you know, these folks, that really did give it their all. And I was just absolutely amazed at how good the stadium was, that folks pulled all that together in just a week. You know, just a simple choice of wardrobe to do all of that and to make it the electric atmosphere it was. That was amazing. I think you can still thank Derek Dooley for today, the man who did not sign any linemen in 2012. Thank you so much. The gift that keeps on giving. And you know, when I was writing that down, I thought, you know what? Derek Dooley beat Butch Jones head to head. Remember that Cincinnati game? That was, goodness gracious.
I do. And I'll tell you what, because I followed Cincinnati at the time. Cincinnati had a better football team than Tennessee that day. And I'm not trying to start anything here. I'm not. But they had, you go back and look at Cincinnati's team, they had several guys that ended up playing in the NFL. Go back and look at their roster. Just go back and look at it. I'm going to say this. I think that Butch Jones, the jury's out, obviously. That's why I don't get into coach worship. Coach worship, it doesn't work. Because really, it's about having players. And when it's about having players, you have to have better players. So, with that said, if he continues to recruit to the clip that he's recruiting and the way he's recruiting, away you go. We're going to win a lot of games here and have a lot of fun. But the question then becomes, and this is going to be an interesting question, can you, with the quarterbacks they've recruited, can you win without a tremendous athlete at quarterback, unless, Dubsy, you let the kid from the mid-state next year have a try at quarterback? Russell, that's going to be an interesting dilemma for them. Is he going to start out in the secondary, or are they going to let him try to be the athlete at quarterback?
I think they'll give Juwan Jennings they'll start him at quarterback and see how he does there, but they'll start Dormady there too.
Yes.
And at this point, I think you'd have to, you know, if you're a wagering person, you'd have to wager on one of those freshmen probably winning the job based off what we've seen from Dobbs and Peterman.
Mm.
Yep. Hey, two more things, and I'll make them quick. I don't understand how it is that Tennessee, that this team could play so well on the road at Oklahoma and Georgia and then turn around and play this badly at home against a team that's as bad as Florida is. And literally, I think Florida, somebody said it earlier, they just made their season. And it might be the last game that they win, similar to last year. I like what it was interesting to me what Worley said, or what was quoted to him, that the Florida secondary gave him some looks that he hadn't seen in the film study. So they worked something new in just for him. I wonder when Tennessee is going to do something like that just for Florida. It's almost like Florida recognizes that their season hinges on this game, and they take it seriously to such a point that they prepare themselves and they save something just for Tennessee, because they know they've got to do this game and win this game to move forward.
You know what else they do? They believe they're winning the game. Which makes no sense to me, because they had no business winning today's game. But they believe that they're going to win today's game. And here's the thing that really just blows my mind. You let a team come into your building and beat you that ran for 70, or I'm sorry, passed for 76 yards in modern college football. That just does not happen. That does not happen. A team passes for 76 yards with a quarterback in the kid they had under center, who might be the worst quarterback to ever start a game that won a game in that building, Driscoll today. I mean, he's going to go down as the guy that started the quarterback and won the game, and that just blows my mind. I'm sorry, we've invented ways to lose to that team. It defies comprehension what happened today.
Yeah. I'm with you guys. This was miserable to watch. I was miserable the entire game watching it, because I just sat there and I watched Tennessee continue to chip away and do this crazy stuff that they're trying to do. Like Beano said, trying to be what we're not and do what we can't with players we don't have yet. And, you know, we keep trying to do things that aren't working. It's like, good grief. And that's, I'm going to finish right here. this is the other thing that I emailed you this week. I said the coach that is going to be the most hard-headed is going to lose this game. And I think that came to pass. I really do.
Well, here's what I'm going to say to you about Butch Jones. Don't get too down on him. Let's wait and see when he gets the ingredients that he can bake the cake. Right now, they have the ingredients to bake a decent brownie, and today they burned the pan. And it's going to happen, you know? But I appreciate your phone call, and I appreciate you listening down there in Georgia. And I love your passion, man. I really do.
They're testing me today, brother.
Take care, man. I understand.
Thank you too, brother.
Thank you. Bino, Dubs, any thoughts on what he had to say?
Just a couple of quick things, guys. I think the difference, and it's a pretty good analogy, could Butch Jones be the guy that stocks the coffers and someone else is the one that takes it to the next level? I think the difference is he's already proven twice before that he's capable of winning football games. I think ultimately his fate will be determined by how well he evaluates his coaching staff and how well he evaluates his talent on hand. The other thing was I think when you're going to get beyond a game that you've got a real bad history in, you have to put enough separation between you and your opponent to give them doubt. Our failure, when we only scored 3 points off those 2 turnovers early in the third quarter and left that game at 6-0, that was where we lost the football game. Had it been 17-0, Florida forgets that they're supposed to win the game.
No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt. Back to the phones we go. Hello, and who's with us on the Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction? Go right ahead.
This is JJ.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, man. You know what head coaches remind me of in this day and age?
Tell us.
Politicians. So good with the commercials. So good with promises. So good with polished speeches. So good with having all these resources at their disposal. And what happens? They leave you wanting more. And the Bajakian, not only did the Bajakian call a terrible game, but Butch Jones wants to run his mouth at his special teams guy last week. He could have come in and inserted himself and his genius that this football mind that we're paying millions of dollars for now could have inserted himself and called the game himself. You know, so he gets just as much blame to me as Bajakian. We had not only the defensive players and the fans deserve to win this, the offensive players deserve to win this. Worley, did he complete 70% of his passes? You know?
Yeah, but he turned the ball. But here's the thing about Worley.
I understand.
Let's be fair here.
Calls. I understand.
Yeah, you can't hold the ball there. You've got to recognize the blitz. You cannot hold the ball there.
Well, I don't know, if he's the one choosing to throw the ball 25 yards down the field. But I'm thinking, what are we paying if it's just going to be on the players, then let's quit paying anything for coaches. Let's just put your 11 out there like Tony Robinson's, outdoor bust 'em off or whatever. I mean, just let the players play a show play. You guys got coaches there for a reason. So the running plays, for one, the stat was 28 attempts for 29 yards. For one, that to me, the average is misleading because we should have had way more attempts than just 28 attempts. There, the rushing, the run play call was 2 or 3 plays. There was no misdirection. There was no counter tray, get the line moving one way and then cut back against the field. There was no play action where he fakes the handoff and kind of rolls out and throws a little ball to the running back. The balls that we did throw to the running backs were 15 yards out in the flat instead of a 2-yard just right behind the defensive line. And that's got to be the play calling. But, like, why are we throwing 25 yards down the field when we need three downs to get 10 yards and to keep our defense fresh? And as it was 3-0, and then it became 6-0, and then it became 9-0, the longer, actually, as we increased our lead by three, the more lack of confidence I had that we were going to win the game, because I knew that all it would take is one touchdown. And Florida didn't even do anything offensively. I mean, you know what I mean? They didn't do jack to score 10 points.
Unbelievable. I mean, it was Tennessee did some things that they haven't done in the first several weeks. And, Bino, you pointed it out, being at home. When you get 49 yards on 8 penalties, and a few of them are extremely critical, man, I mean, we stopped a couple drives on our own, Bino.
Yeah, we did.
It just can't happen in this game. You can't have that.
No, I thought the first half, our offense actually, our lack of offensive execution had more to do with lack of discipline than I did with scheme. I thought in the second half it was more about lack of feel. So it was kind of two different things stopping us.
If you're the coaching staff, do you call out that Mickey Mouse Wildcat package on 3rd and 1 when it's proven that Hurd is going to get you 3 or 4 yards?
Bino, you have a thought on that?
As I didn't, the Wildcat package use was done on the opposite. It seemed like the whole game was played away from me for the most part. So I don't have a real good feel for what they were trying to do there at the times when they went 2 times consecutively, when basically we had procedure penalties when we had short yardage to overcome. So, I can't comment too much on that without looking at it.
You know what it was? It was just an out-of-sorts game offensively on a day where it was the only path to victory Florida had. If we were completely out of sorts, it should have been a one-sided football game. And I know shoulds and coulds and woulds and ifs and nuts, and I understand all that. But it just goes to show you what a mental hurdle, an absolute mental hurdle this Florida series is for us. It's just a terrible, 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 awful, wretched series, and I'm in complete pain right now.
And how is Butch? I mean, Butch should be free of this. And if he's, if he's going to surround himself with people, if he's this great recruiter and has this personality to go out there and get all these kids, get someone who can do what it takes to win. I'm sick of thinking about next year and the year after that. It's not promised to us. And it's, no guarantee that all these studs are going to work out. It's no guarantee that they're going to stay injury free. You're a coach making millions of dollars. Your fans are out there, and the students are totally, totally just give us this game against Florida. And you go out there and put up that kind of nonsense, because we have a better team than Florida. And Worley is a better quarterback than Driscoll. Our defense is just as good, if not better, than Florida's defense. And I'm tired of hearing about our offensive line. That was the worst play call. We could have continued to give it to Hurd, and our rushing numbers would have been way better. But what we did is we did that first and down stinking dot play to Hurd right up the middle, and then we'd throw a 20-yard pass incomplete, and then it's 3rd and 9. And that was the story of the game. But there was, I challenge anyone, how many different running plays did we draw up? Maybe 3. I mean, seriously.
I want to interject here. Bino, did you see the play that just happened on the kid in the mid-state that plays running back for Ole Miss?
No, Tony, I'm not around.
Okay, well, Jones, Cyrus Jones from Alabama, grabs his face mask, doesn't get a face mask call, then his hand comes down, he punches the ball out. Alabama, it bounces up into a defender's hand, they take it in for a touchdown. How come Alabama never gets those calls against them? Why does it work that way? Cyrus Jones just ripped the guy's face mask. When you guys see this later, you will not believe this, that they did not call a face mask on it. And that is a unearned score. that makes it Alabama 14-3 with 24 seconds to go in the first half. As Mississippi's just running the clock out there, down 7-3.
No, they're not ready for prime time.
No, they're not ready for prime time. But that happens. But I'm sorry there, JJ. Your point is well taken. Your points are well taken. It is frustrating. I will say this to you, as Butch Jones said, be patient, man. Better days are ahead.
Well, it's easy for him to say that when he can be out in two more years or one more year making all this money, and then he's on to the next medicine show stop in Toledo with Gordon Solie and the rest of those hacks. And he comes in here and acts like he's just as pained as these long-suffering true UT fans. He's not pained. He's got all this money. Tired of feeling sorry for him. It's year two. He needs to do something.
Thank you, JJ. Cool. Thank you. But unfortunately for him, he can't turn water into wine.
Tony, I'm not the thought police by any stretch. I understand people's frustration today. You know, I talked to you on the show about that this was an opportunity for Butch Jones to kind of make his legacy that he turned the Florida series around, much like Coach Fulmer turned the Alabama series around. I will remind people that it took Coach Fulmer into year three before he turned that around. And the first year was the 93 game down there that it was a tie, but it was every bit as painful as today.
No question. No doubt about that. That was a brutal football game. That David Palmer game, that'll never be forgotten by the living fan. That's on my one hand of painful games. Today is on my one hand, though, of painful games, because Bino, because you guys talked me into it. And I didn't do like Russell. I didn't show the discipline that Russell showed all week and just say, hey, you people are not talking me into that. I'm going to stiff arm you. Y'all talked me into this. So let's go back to the phones, and now I'm in complete pain right now. But that was an absolute face mask on Jones. Look at this, Dubs, watch. You tell me what they call that. He turns his head with a face mask. What a damn ripoff. That's terrible.
Here's the thing, though, Tony. Here's
go ahead.
The thing. Russell, do you feel any better about today's game because you didn't step out there? It hurt every bit as bad.
Oh, I don't know about that. You got me emotionally involved in it. So let's go back to the phones, which I would have been emotionally. Who am I fooling?
So predictable, man. I mean, when they kicked that last field goal,
it was up
9-0. You're like, oh, now it's perfectly set up for them to score a touchdown and kick the field goal and win by one.
That's what a buddy of mine told me listening across the country. He said, now it's 10-9. It's Auburn 71 all over again. Yep. Who's up next with us? Hello.
Hey, Tony, it's Lee. How you doing?
Hey, Lee, welcome.
How was the tailgate before we get into it?
The tailgate was a complete and total smashing, unbelievable success. We were overrun with people. There were folks that came out of the crowd from many, many states. Tony Robinson was incredible. We had a tremendous time. Our street teamers had a tremendous time spreading the word on this program. It was a great day. Everything was perfect with the exception of the football game today, in my eyes.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad everything went well. Just the thing about to me about this game is you sit here and listen to people talk all week long, and they act like Florida's terrible. You know, Florida went down and got beat by Alabama 40-something to 20-something in Tuscaloosa. Florida has players. It's an athletic contest. It's a game. And all week long, people acted like Florida was Vanderbilt. I mean, when you play athletics, when you play, there are certain teams that have your number. And until you can exercise that, they're always gonna be in your head. And it's easier to say than it is to do. Trust me. It's easier to say than it is to do. You know, this is SEC football. On any day, anybody can beat another person. You're going to get competition every Saturday. You just can't say, oh, we're going to beat Florida. They suck because Alabama hammered them. Well, Alabama hammers everybody. You know, I just don't think Tennessee fans have a grasp on reality more than anything. You know, we go down there and play Georgia really well. This is a young football team. We're playing 22, 23, 24 true freshmen. And as freshmen are so up and down, you know, they played great down in Georgia. Defense played great today. But I mean, it's a different game. Nothing means less than your last game. That was just my whole reaction. I knew we were going to lose that game. I mean, they're trying to give us the game, guys. You know, the second half starts and we get two interceptions inside their 20 and we walk away with 3 points. I mean, we're not going to win kicking field goals. It's just a typical Florida game. I've seen that movie over and over and over again. And I will tell you this, I was sitting there with my buddy and it was 9-0. We have the ball on our own 30-yard line, and I said, this is the time of the game usually when some big turnover happens and turns the game in Florida's way. Next snap, Farley fumbles, they get the ball, they go in, it's 9-7, that game is over. That game is over at that point.
Bino, how do you respond to Lee's call?
Lee, my hopes weren't based upon Alabama. My hopes were based upon Kentucky and the way Kentucky was able to score points. And the way it appeared as if Florida's defense wasn't playing anywhere close to what that they were supposed to be. Florida's defense was very good today. We weren't very good offensively, but a lot of it had to do with how good they were defensively. Mm-hmm. Their defensive backs did a better job against our receivers than I thought they were capable of. I knew they would probably stone our run, but I thought we would be able to throw the football better. And really, Worthy wasn't under as much pressure as I thought that he would be throughout the course of the game. But my hopes were based more on Kentucky than they were on Alabama.
Yeah, I just, you know, if you look at their TD, they're playing a lot of upperclassmen. And that Kentucky game was maybe their first game of the year. Their first game got rained out.
They played Eastern Michigan.
They played Eastern Michigan. It's their second game of the year. Teams get better. And I just don't understand people just saying we're going to just kick their butt. You know, all week I heard these people just call and say we're going to kick their butt, like they're Vanderbilt or something. You know, it just doesn't work that way. You know, a team's got to learn how to win. And our team does not know how to win. You know, we've been through this forever. The last 5-6 years has been brutal. We just do not know how to win. We can't close people out. We don't know how to win a football game right now. And that's what we're trying to figure out how to do. That was just what I saw. You know, it was just evident to me that we let those guys hang around and hang around and hang around, and they did until we made the mistake to give them the ball game. And it's like I said, they tried to give us the game, guys. I mean, they tried their damnedest to give us the game, and we just wouldn't take it. You never know. It's sports. Every day is a different game. It's different mindsets. It's different.
Well, if it's a different day, why can't every once in a while we beat them? I mean, I understand what you're saying.
We're not winners, Tony. Right now, we're not winners.
Oh, okay. Well,
winning teams make winning plays. We're trying to learn how to win.
Appreciate the good news. And Florida is winners. Florida needed overtime and a hose job against Kentucky to get out of there with a win.
But they won. Did they win?
Yeah,
won. You guys get caught up.
They were 4-8. Hang on.
It doesn't matter.
They were 4. They were 4.
It doesn't matter.
They were 4-8.
That's last year.
They were
That's
4. They lost to Southern Miss.
It doesn't matter.
They're
That's
terrible.
You can't go back and say
they were allowing
Kentucky 4 overtimes, but they got the win.
They were allowing opponents to convert 46% of their third down conversions. Come on, man.
Can you get too caught up in
Come on, man.
what was? It's a game. It's a game. Every game is different. It doesn't matter. Because you go play that game. I mean, I've heard all these stats all week. Georgia Southern beat them. They went 4 overtimes with Kentucky. Blah, 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 blah. They allowed this on third down. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, have you guys ever played a game in your life? It's like, it's a game. Every game is different.
I think you guys are both right. I think you can't extrapolate anything from what Florida did earlier in the season. But I was alarmed by everybody's overconfidence. I mean, Lee's right. Florida's a decent team. They've got a decent defense. But at the end of the day, This is just a mental hurdle. Florida is in Tennessee's head. They own Tennessee. Tennessee expects to lose. Florida expects to win. And it plays out the same for 10
well,
years in a row.
Well, Lee, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your passion.
Tony,
thank
even,
you.
Even the wins Tennessee's
thank you, brother.
Had.
Thank you.
Even the wins Tennessee's had in this series have been like you have to fight and fall for it.
It's climbing a mountain.
Barely
it's climbing
luck
a mountain.
Into it.
And I was calling for a blowout yesterday because Beano had me feeling it.
That's crazy talk.
Well, after all week I was reserved and Beano talked me into it.
Of course I did, Tony.
Beano,
it's your fault, Beano.
Beano, have a final word here because I'm going to grab Swaney here in a few minutes. But give me a couple final thoughts, Beano. You're good at this, and then we'll continue our telephone calls. Go ahead.
Well, Tony, generally when you break out of a funk against a team, you do it in a big way. And I thought Tennessee had the opportunity to put that separation up there with their two red zones early. And they were unable to do it. And when you left Florida in the football game and the time started ticking off the clock, they began to win to believe they were going to win the football game, and we began to believe we were going to lose. And that's the way it played out today. Those are pretty even football teams, more even than I thought we would be at this point, as I said before, in Butch Jones' career. But you just can't continue to not reward your fan base when everything's there in place for you to do so.
Beano, well put. Beano, great seeing you today. Beano, I love you like a brother. Beano, I'm not going to listen to you next year, Florida Week.
That'd probably be pretty good, a pretty good approach.
Beano, take care. Thank you. I love Beano like a brother, brother. Attention Class A CDL drivers, would you like to be at home every night? That's my question for you if you're a Class A CDL driver. I was visiting with my friends over at U.S. Foods. And I'll tell you what, that is an impressive operation right in beautiful Blount County. And U.S. Foods is searching for Class A CDL drivers for delivery positions in the Knoxville area, and they pay well. They are a leader in the food service industry. Minimum 1 year commercial driving experience required, or 6 months food service, or food and beverage delivery experience is required. U.S. Food offers a competitive compensation and benefits package, including medical, dental, vision, pension, and 401k plans. Apply online at usfoods.com. That's usfoods.com, usfoods.com, U.S. Foods, an equal opportunity employer, and tell them that you heard about it from Tony Basilio. I would greatly appreciate that. USFoods.com.
Mike Bajakian and Will Muschamp might freshen up their resumes. They might be looking for if those positions are still open at the end of the year.
Back to the phones we go. After watching Mike Bajakian today, Russell, have a 9-0 lead, I think he would have a little bit of problem delivering.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones because he did not deliver.
It'd be late, no doubt.
Interesting. Let's grab our next caller. Hello and welcome to the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Who's this?
This is Chuck. How you doing?
Hey, Chuck, how you doing, man?
This game didn't help my health, I'll tell you that much. This game, next month will be 13 years since I moved here from New York. This game reminded me when Bill Osborne told, who was it? The Giants quarterback to hand the ball off instead of Neil taking a knee, and Herm Edwards ran it back for a touchdown, and the Giants lost. That's the feeling I had today. And this is the first time in 13 years I took a game like that.
You know, it was like, so you were on the other end of the Miracle of Meadowlands because I was a
That's
kid
right.
going crazy in Ooh. My living room. Chuck, you know, at the end of the day, we sat there that day and watched. For some reason, they give the ball to Larry Zonka, Joe Pisarcik, and it ain't over till it's over. But you know what? Nothing is as mental as this Tennessee series with Florida.
What I don't understand is Coleman Thomas was in trouble.
Yes.
Why didn't he put a tight end there to help him or take them out the game.
I don't know.
Something. Yep. Because now what you've basically done, I mean, they blew them up on TV as being the problem. You've probably killed this kid's confidence and destroyed any kind of chance he may have of overcoming this. But I put this one on the coaches, on the offensive coaches. You know, we made mistakes and stuff. But that was a simple adjustment. That's why the offensive coordinator makes the money he makes.